Okay, good afternoon. I would like to welcome our live audience and our online participants to the 4:45 session on Tuesday, April the 16th. And I would like to remind our online participants that they can submit questions via the interface that they're viewing the programming on. For our in-house audience, I want to remind you that we are streaming this and we are recording it. So if you have any questions for the presenters, then please, please go to the microphones. I will introduce Steve Devote, who is the senior IT architect at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Mary Dunker, director, Secure Enterprise Technology Initiatives at Virginia Tech.
Well, thank you. I'm obviously Steve. That's Mary. So I'm happy to see you all here today. Better attendance than I thought at this time of the day. So we're going to talk a little bit about identity assurance here, and we're going to try to go through this pretty quickly. I will say, if you have questions as we go along, go ahead and raise your hand or stand up. We'll take them as we go and hopefully have a few minutes for questions at the end. So the agenda today is the problem, the value proposition. Why are we talking about higher levels of assurance? What actually do we mean by assurance? What's new? There's been quite a few new developments in the assurance space in just the last couple of months. So we'll try to bring you up to speed on that. And then we're going to go over a little bit of our experiences, examples at the University of Wisconsin and at Virginia Tech. So, okay, the value proposition. What we're really talking about here is high-value services. So if you're familiar with InCommon and Federation Technologies, we have for a number of years worked together to allow service providers to allow access to their services via federated authentication. In other words, they don't have to set up credentials for every single person who wants to access their service. But the problem with that is that basically anybody can join InCommon. It's just a matter of writing a check, right? So there really is no assessment, no evaluation to see how good a job, in particular the IDPs, the identity providers, are doing in managing their credential stores and managing their authentication systems. Just how secure are they, right? So this makes InCommon a very good and convenient service, or federation, for low assurance services, things that, you know, we care about, but that maybe don't require the level of security that some other services do. So the value proposition for this, well, the other thing I want to say here too is as we move to cloud services, this is becoming increasingly important, right? So as we move even more services out of our doors, we don't want to have to set up point to point. So federation is becoming more important, but in many instances, the service providers are concerned, or they want a higher level of assurance. They want to know that you're doing what you need to do from a security standpoint to make sure the people who are accessing their services are who they say they are, their accounts haven't been compromised, things like that. So I think I've talked a little bit about why they're important. How can you secure them? Well, this all sort of starts with your identity management systems, and hopefully most of us have been working on this for a number of years. But also the credential assurance, so things about how strong the credentials are, the methods you're using for authentication, whether that's just straight passwords or that's something stronger. And it's really all about SP confidence, right? So we have been caught a little bit in a chicken and egg thing for a long time with Federation, where the service providers want something, the IDPs would like to provide it, but they need to make a business case to their campus that, you know, we should do this. Let's become InCommon Silver certified. And then the next question is always, well, who's requiring you to be InCommon Silver certified? And we say, well, nobody is right now, but we're hoping someone will in the future. And then it kind of goes the other way, too. Why should a service provider ask for a higher level of assurance when really no one has that level of assurance yet? So I think this is the important point here is that we need to work as a community to drive this forward kind of in iterative steps where we IDP adoption, SP adoption, and eventually we'll get to the place we want to get to. So I think we're on assurance. Is assurance, is this still me? Okay. So InCommon Assurance, why should you consider adopting or going through what can be a very rigorous and long process of increasing assurance or trying to become INCOM and Silver certified. Well, I think I've just talked about this a little bit. It increases confidence and it also reduces risk. A lot of the business case we make that I think resonates better on our campuses is that by adopting and trying to comply with a sort of industry standard, if you will, you're actually reducing your complete risk profile, whether you do federation or not. So it's just sort of a good practice. In common assurance, you wouldn't want to do this on your own, right? That's the whole nature of a standard, is certainly you can bring in external auditors or internal auditors and try on your own to determine what you need to do to increase your security profile. But INCOM provides a standard community-based approach, so we can work together. You don't have to reinvent the wheel on every single campus, so there is a great deal of information and resources and intelligent people that can help you get to where you need to go. And that just really sort of goes into the economies of scale from a interaction or a social standpoint, but there is also, for high-value services, there is sort of the technical economies of scale, right? So if you have a one-on-one relationship with someone who's providing a high-value service, you can do what people have done in the past, right? Everything is written in a contract. You negotiate back and forth. They audit you. You audit them. But with INCOM, we basically have this standard, and if everybody adopts it, you don't have to do that, right? You can basically say, you know, we comply with this standard. Service providers accept that standard, and now the whole thing scales. And then, of course, a better user experience. This just goes to the whole federation thing, the federation argument. If many services, low-value services, you can access via federation, but then the high-value ones you can't, and those are the ones that are really important to people, it's not a very good user experience. Why can't I log into NIH resources, you know, using my federated login? Well, because we're not INCOM Silver certified yet. So, all right. That one definitely says Virginia Tech on it. Okay.
Well, the point of this is that cloud services introduce risks. And one way to mitigate risks is with the access controls. It's not the only way that you can mitigate the risk, but how do you know who's accessing your service? By having a higher level of assurance in the identity of those people, you can mitigate some of the risk of putting all your data out in the cloud. So again, who has access? Who has access to the service? Who has access to the logs? Who are the administrators? All this can tie in with the need for a higher level of assurance in the identity of those folks. So why INCOM assurance? We have standards already. There's NIST 800-63, but that was really designed for the federal government. INCOM was, the INCOM standards were developed more with higher ed in mind. So there's the Identity Assurance Assessment Framework, the IAAF, which describes the environment and some of the overall requirements, such as the audit requirements. And then there are the identity assurance profiles that get down to the basic individual criteria that apply to the different sections, like the credentialing technology. And we'll have another slide about those in a moment. The federal identity credentialing and access management group has approved versions 1.2 of the framework and of the profiles. That was done a couple of months ago, and so we're ready to roll now with a FICAM approved set of standards. The service providers are very interested in various requirements. Again, there's sort of a chicken and egg feature here, so we don't have much adoption yet. After they do, though, we have some early interest in an application called CI Login The National Student Clearinghouse has shown interest in this higher level of assurance of credential, and so has the National Institutes of Health. So here's an assurance context, and this diagram can be found in the framework document. As you can see, there are multiple components to assurance. The IDP operator has registration authority, the identities are vetted from the subject. Then there's a whole infrastructure called the IDMS operations that includes a shibboleth service if you choose to go that route with your technology. It includes the identity management service, the attribute service piece that allows the institute, allows the IDP to pass information like, is this person a faculty member, staff member, employee, student? The verifier that might look at the validity of a password during authentication. And then, of course, your applications that are non-IDP related, meaning there might be other applications that use the same infrastructure in addition to the service provider. And in this diagram, the service provider is part of the InCommon Federation. So we're kind of flipping back and forth here on the slides, starting the conversation to help you engage resources. InCommon has a lot of great resources to help you. There's an InCommon assurance listserv that a lot of people are participating in who are interested in becoming certified for InCommon bronze or silver. And then we're going to tell you a little bit more about our stories. And I'm going to start off with a little more information on how you get certified. So first of all, you need to join InCommon. Is there anyone in the room who's already an InCommon member? Great. So that's the first step. That's already done. Then to be an identity provider, you've probably already set up some sort of the SAML 2 compliant IDP. Most people are using Shibboleth for that. And there's a lot of work that's being done to improve Shibboleth, to make sure that it's ready to accept various credentials and indicate the levels of assurance that you might need, say, for multi-factor. But it actually works right now just fine. You can pass the qualifiers to the service provider that will indicate that you are bronze or silver certified. So I already mentioned the Identity Assurance Assessment Framework and the profiles. So if you're starting to pursue an assurance certification, you'll want to read both the framework and the profiles, which contain these individual criteria that I mentioned a little bit earlier. Now, I'm not going to go through each of these. You can look them up. But I do want to point out that some are silver only. All the criteria in the profiles are labeled with a B or an S or perhaps both. So the B is for bronze, and it's sort of a baseline, and then silver is added on top of that, and in some instances, some of the requirements are only if you're seeking silver certification. So pay attention to those sections and the indicators. So as far as applying for assurance, after you've gone through all the process, and we'll again talk a little bit more about the individual experience that Virginia Tech had, but the identity provider will submit an audit or a representation of conformance. The audit is for silver. The representation of conformance, or ROC, is currently accepted for bronze. Then the Assurance Advisory Committee it's an InCommon established committee. Steve and I are both members of that committee. We review the application and sort of have a dialogue, if we need to, with the identity provider if there are any questions. And then the AAC will make a recommendation to InCommon steering, either to approve or deny the application for assurance. If it's denied, there's some more iteration that can be done in order for any deficiencies to be remedied. If it's approved, though, then In Common adds an assurance level to the metadata that's stored at the In Common Federation and that's accessible to both the service providers and the identity providers. So, as I mentioned, FICAM recently approved a new set of profiles and framework, and there are a couple of things that are new in this version, which is 1.2. If anyone had started out looking at earlier profiles, you want to make sure you're looking at the most recent ones. So in 1.2, one of the biggest changes, and it's a very good thing, is that you no longer are required to have an audit for a bronze certification. Now, you still need to review all the criteria and make sure that your institution and management can support and honestly say that you meet the bronze criteria, but then rather than engage your auditors, the only requirement for applying for bronze is to look at the new legal addendum or the new legal agreement, which has an addendum that has to be signed by an IDP's legal, representative for In Common, and in our case, it was the person who signs the In Common membership contract, and they can attest to the fact that your IDP conforms to the bronze standards. So, again, you still need to do the due diligence for meeting the requirements, but it does not require a full audit, which silver requires. Another new aspect in 1.2 is called alternative means, and this is a path, indicates, split paths. So the criteria in the identity assurance profiles are, first of all, based on password authentication, which may or may not be what you're doing at your institution. So there's also a means for complying with those criteria using something different, and that's called alternative means. So you need to be able to show that your different method is either comparable or superior to the criteria that was actually indicated in the standard. An alternative means can be submitted through a community effort. For example, there's a great effort going on right now to specify ways to comply with In Common bronze and or silver using Active Directory, because there are some little idiosyncrasies about Active Directory that are sort of questionable relative to how they meet the criteria for the profile. There's also the ability, if you have some sort of deviation from the exact criteria, you can submit a proposal to In Common prior to applying for bronze or silver certification. And then you can also present your alternative means proposal at the time of the application. And there's information on the In Common Assurance site that indicates what an alternative means proposal would look like. So we'll have a link to that information at the end of the presentation. But so there can be some flexibility. The alternative means would have to be approved, and if it is approved, then it becomes normative. So, for example, Virginia Tech's application included a multi-factor solution. We need to write that up. I'll be talking about that a little bit more later. But if any other institution wanted to use exactly our solution, then they would not need to present an alternative means proposal if Virginia Tech's was already approved. It'll be published. So there's a lot of benefit. If you are going to use alternative means, you'll need to write something up and it'll be published, but then the community can reuse it, which is great. The third sort of major change in the 1.2 spec is the use of the term approved algorithm as opposed to industry standard. And this is simply an implementation of an algorithm or technique that's specified in a FIPS standard or a NIST recommendation or that conforms to an alternative means that's identified as approved by in common. The language in the 1.1 spec had a lot of references to industry standard, and FICAM thought that was a little vague, so they just wanted a more firm definition. So now Steve's going to talk about what they've done at UW-Madison.
Thank you, Mary. And I must make a public apology because that Virginia Tech header threw me off and I wasn't done yet. But you can see what a good chair of the In Common Assurance Committee Mary is. She stepped right in and I think did probably a better job than I would have done. So I apologize for that.
We shared our slides sort of late.
Yeah, you guys know how it is, right? Okay. Okay, so a little bit about the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who had high hopes of being in common silver certified by now, but we are not. So I'm going to share a little bit of our experiences. First a little bit about us. We have been a long time in common member. We use the Federation extensively. So we use it within our system. We're part of a 24 institution statewide system. We have hundreds of internally exposed SPs, and that's not really truly Federation, but we're obviously using the same technology, our Shibboleth infrastructure, same IDP, to provide these services to campus. As I said, we have system-wide access via Federation to common systems, so we run common ERP systems for HR and financials, and we use Federation to support that. We run Shibboleth as our web access management software, as well as, of course, using Shibboleth to support Federation. ECP, I have to take this opportunity, even though there's not a lot of you here, to bring up ECP because this may be something you hadn't heard about yet. And I'll get the acronym wrong again. I think, right, isn't Tom? It's Enhanced Client or Proxy. All right, so I got it right for the first time. But what this is really, one of the downsides, not really downsides, but limitations of Federation has been that it really only works with web, right? So you have to be able to present a browser for people to get access. And this is very limiting when we try to bring this into the research space in particular, because they want to use command line, they want to SSH, do things like that. Well, ECP allows us to do this, and it's a very, very easy thing to do to set up in your IDP, and the value is tremendous. So we have got really good feedback. So we were working, as Mary mentioned, with CI Logon and LIGO and some other big research projects to try to get that to happen. So our assurance journey, and it has been a journey. We have been at this a while. We have been working on what you might define as assurance for a number of years, probably 4 or 5 years. And this really started with something called the Credential Assessment Framework, which is sort of a predecessor to In Common Silver. And, excuse me. So this does take a while. And really the point here, I'm going to just try to draw out a point of our experience, is this is not something you can do at the last minute. So if it would, in alternate universe, if a major service provider, say the NIH or NSF, decided we are going to require in common silver assurance, and you have not been thinking about this for years, you're not going to get there. So this is really something that it has value on its own. So we can try to make that case, as I said earlier, that it improves all your systems, your security posture, et cetera, and then you're prepared for when we hope service providers start to require this for access to high-value services. Something about us, the WIS card, this is just from sort of our point experiences. We leveraged things we already had in place. So you want to look for places where you're already doing good things that maybe just need to be tweaked a little bit. Many institutions will probably choose to set up separate identity proofing processes for silver. That might be the quick and easy way to do it if, for example, you don't have any sort of central point of contact with your users where you can proof their identity. We actually did. We issue, as I think most of you do, a student ID, and actually a faculty ID also. Everybody has to go to the card office, and it is a single card office. We don't have multiple card offices, and you must present identity documents like passports, driver's licenses, military papers, or what have you. And so we just tweaked that process to make it in common silver compliant. It was essentially compliant to begin with, and we were done. So we didn't have to set up a separate process. And that really is what you should try to do if you can. Obviously, if you can't, you have to do the best you can. We had no enterprise Active Directory. So we've talked about Active Directory. I'll talk about it a little more on a few slides in. But this helps. If you haven't built a lot of your infrastructure on Active Directory, not that there's anything wrong with Active Directory. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. But actually, its popularity and the kind of many things that it can do, and in particular its support for legacy applications, can make this a very difficult process. And again, I've already referenced this. We chose not to develop a separate system. So we are going to try to make our processes so anyone who comes on campus will be in Common Silver certified. So we're not trying to kind of carve out a group. We're trying to modify all our processes so that anyone who comes in, gets proofed, gets issued a credential, it will be Silver certified. Though we could talk about how sometimes that's going to fluctuate, right? If the credential is compromised, obviously we have to have processes in place that make sure that we knock them down to something below silver because we owe that to our SPs via this assurance program. So the bad, and you know, this is just sort of heads up. We've already talked about the chicken and egg thing here, right? So IT resources are short. We need to focus on certain things that are of importance to the institution. And how can you sort of prove that this is important, right? No service providers are demanding this. But there is high, I think, service provider interest in this, right? If we could make this happen, service providers would be very happy. Their lives would be much easier. So on our campus, it's sort of fluctuated, right? We're really on it hard for a while. We get a new CIO or whatever, and then, you know, priorities change. So there is a bit of that that has to be managed. But I guess that maybe the advice would be to never let it completely die, right? So even if you have to focus your attention somewhere else for a while, keep in common silver on your or assurance in general, bronze and silver, sort of on your radar so you can pick it back up when you have the resources to do it. We were not able to engage auditors early. We have an internal audit department, as many of you do, and you actually don't have to have an external audit. You can actually have this done by your internal auditors in the case of Silver. Our auditors were not interested in engaging with us early. It would have been really nice to get their feedback before we sort of put the whole package together, and then they decided to engage, and they didn't like it. So other institutions have experience where they have engaged their audit group early, got them involved, and worked with them over a period of many months, you know, if not a year, sort of in a back and forth iterative fashion to get this done. And I think that is probably the better mechanism. And just our institution, we're big. We can't make anybody do anything. We can't, you know. And I put credential management here because credential management is important, right? A lot of the stuff about the strength of the credential goes to the entropy and maintaining that. And if you can't force password resets and things like that, which we cannot, then you have to find another way. In our case, what we've decided to do is monitor entropy so that we basically knock people down, that we knock their status down from silver. If their entropy drops below a certain point, we notify them, all those sort of things. But right now, we just still can't really do anything about improving our password strength or requiring password resets or our password changes. And, of course, now we have an Enterprise Active Directory because we're Office 365. So that's not the only reason. We needed an Enterprise Active Directory service. And as I said, there just are some sort of very technical implications with Active Directory as far as credential management and encryption and some other things that have to be managed. And you know, again, the good news is, back to the community thing, is that there are people working on this, right? So a lot of the institutions in the Big Ten, as well as other institutions that are part of InCommon, are working to try to address these issues.
And then, of course, our documentation is pretty bad. And I would imagine that this is sort of a higher education characteristic. We don't have, things aren't signed. They aren't dated. No one knows when this document was updated. Anything you can do to work on that would be helpful. So I've already mentioned we chose not to develop a separate system. We don't really know if many will or many won't. That's sort of the rumor, right, is that, well, we'll do that, but we'll only do it for those high-value researchers, and they'll come in, and we'll proof them, and we'll do something. And then I've already mentioned that we're using monitoring to address credential entropy. And to kind of maybe link back into some of the things that Mary mentioned, that will probably need to be submitted as an alternative means. So we'll be working on that, and if others want to follow behind us, then again, that would become normative and would be approved. So these next documents, I'm not going to go through these. I just threw these in here so that they would be part of the presentation because I thought they might be useful. This is a graphic of the way we've designed our in common silver service. We like to do real service management, and so there are a few things that are interesting. Here's the text version of the service description. And then I also threw in our proofing documents. So these are basically the proofing flows that take place at our WISCARD office. Oh, and by the way, I spelled WISCARD wrong. So, there's nobody here from Wisconsin in here, right? Okay. And that's it. So,
now we're going to talk about how you get to wear the silver hat. This is what you get when you're in common silver certified. So Virginia Tech is certified. And it was a long process. As Steve said, a couple of years thinking about it. Our certification audit started about a year before we were certified. Well, actually, we had to get on the auditor's schedule. So that's one thing that's very important. A lot of people might think their auditors are just available. So the recommended assurance process that I have is, first of all, to create a formal project. Make sure you've got good project management. We have processes that we follow for any project at Virginia Tech. So it includes a scope. We also got a very high-level sponsor. Our Vice President for Information Technology and CIO was the project sponsor, and we made a presentation to the auditors very early on. We used our internal audit department to do our audit. And after we decided we were going to do the project and we had all the proper support, first thing we did was a gap analysis. There are templates out on the In Common Assurance program site that show you how to fill in information about the gaps that need some work in order to meet certain criteria. I would highly recommend collaborating with other schools. We were fortunate to become ex officio members of the CIC Big Ten School Silver Project, and I need to thank all the members of the all the official members of the Big Ten for and the CIC for including us in that effort. We held, I think it was conference calls every other week for many, many months and went through all the documents at that time. I think it started with the 1.0 version of the profile, then moved to 1.1, and we had good conversations about gaps and scope and how we might meet criteria. So that was extremely helpful. Then we created a set of management assertions. So for each of those criteria that you saw in an earlier slide, the auditors need something against which to form their opinion. So a management assertion says, we as IT management meet this criteria, and then we state the criteria, and then we will describe how we meet the criteria, then the auditors can go back and verify that what we say is actually correct to the best of their ability. After we created our management assertions, then again we started our formal audit where we had the auditors who knew the profiles, they knew what was expected, they had a time frame, and in our case, the 1.1 spec was out at the time, so we had a full audit for both bronze and silver. Right now, you're able to do bronze with representation of conformance, so that should make it a little bit easier. And then finally, we submitted it to Incommon, and we iterated back and forth with the Assurance Advisory Committee and were recommended for certification and were finally approved. So we were certified in July of 2012 under 1.1. We used a multi-factor alternative means with an X509 certificate on the SafeNet e-tokens. We already had practices in place for issuing those e-tokens and recording all the identity documents we had to present in order to obtain an e-token. So like Steve, we already had a process that was pretty good. We tweaked it to make sure that we were absolutely in compliance with the Incommon criteria, but that made things a lot easier if you already have a person-to-person process for handing out some sort of credential. At Virginia Tech, we've also integrated with the Central Authentication System, or CAS. That's our single sign-on web authenticator. It integrates with Shibboleth. And it also will present the user the opportunity to log in using the personal digital certificate that's on their e-token. So then, as I mentioned, Virginia Tech was certified under the 1.1 specs, so we need to recertify under 1.2. We plan to be submitting a formal multi-factor alternative means that, again, if anyone else providing that this is accepted, if anyone else wants to use the SafeNet e-tokens and a similar process, then hopefully this will pave the way for that institution to be approved, at least using that particular alternative means. We'll need to review all the criteria and all our systems to make sure that we're using approved algorithms, either FIPS or NIST or something else that perhaps Incommon will approve. And then we don't know yet whether we'll need to submit an updated audit, but those kinds of questions are being discussed right now with the Assurance Advisory Committee. Just wanted to mention a couple of use cases. Again, we're talking about cloud services in this presentation, and because we don't have a critical mass of certified IDPs, fortunately, the government is not requiring silver or even bronze certification from its users. But we are in production offering silver credentials to the CI Login. It happens to accept either bronze or silver. And this gives researchers access to some high performance computing like the Open Science Grid. We are not currently requiring silver or bronze for any on-campus services, but we could do that. And one example is that we use PeopleAdmin for our HR job employment applications and for entering job descriptions. And so it would be possible. PeopleAdmin is an Incommon member, so it would be possible if we wanted to require some sort of higher level of assurance for that logon. It's a cloud service, but it's not a government or research oriented service. It's something that's hosted, and we use it at Virginia Tech. So in this diagram, again, you can see the user I had a really hard time putting this silver hat on him. I think I'm going to have to do a little bit of work on my slides. But he's logging into his home institution with his own credentials and then accessing cloud services in a very secure manner. So we're feeling pretty good about his security level. Then, as I said, we have resources that are at the InCommon Federation / Assurance web page. It's a wiki. There is a ton of information out there. You can do a search, or you can follow some of the menus, or you can send email to Steve or me, and we'll be happy to try to answer your questions. So are there any questions right now? Well, I have a question for you just to end. Is anyone thinking about pursuing an assurance certification, silver or bronze? Great. It's a very good experience, and I hope you get the silver.